So, and each and every one of us has got a diabetic gene. Okay. Whether you become a diabetic or not is up to you. Any individual is like a gun, and the gene is like a bullet. If the diabetes has got to come out, you need a trigger. The trigger of the gun holds the key. If you are able to pull the trigger, become a diabetic. If you are able to hold on, you can. There is another thing known as epigenetics, something above the genes. Okay, the whole family are diabetic, grandfather diabetic, grandmother diabetic, father, mother diabetic. The son can choose to be a diabetic or not a diabetic. You can change your genes. Contrarily, there is no family history of diabetes at all, still you can choose to become a diabetic. That is epigenetics. The most sinister thing that is happening now is that the drugs can change our genes. The drugs that have been prescribed for lifestyle diseases can change our genes, comma, for the worse. All lifestyle, within quotes, diseases are an intelligent expression, physiological expression of the body, which cannot be treated by a chemical, that is drug. Because our body is self-regulating and self-healing. Our body is intelligent, we are stupid. Okay. So, by and large, that is what I am talking is type 2 diabetes, not type 1. Type 1, there is no insulin. Okay, you have to give insulin, otherwise they will die. We are focused mainly on type 2 diabetes. Okay. Because the cause is something different. The genesis, how diabetes occurs. Okay. Basically, it's a diabetes altered response of our body to a certain nutrient that we are taking. Now, what are the nutrients that we are taking? Carbohydrate, protein, fat. Okay. Carbohydrate is broken to sugar, protein is broken to amino acid, and fat is broken into fatty acid. Right. So, the food that we take, mostly we are all South Indians. Most of us are vegetarians, barring a few. So, out of the three macronutrients, carbohydrate, protein, fat, the carbohydrate content is very, very high. Virtually 90% of the vegetarians' diet is carbohydrate. Now, what is carbohydrate? It's just an assembly of glucose molecules. Okay. So, whatever carbohydrate that we take, especially the processed refined carbohydrates that we take, is converted to sugar in the body. What is the role of sugar? To provide energy. Okay. Now, our body contains 5 liters of blood. How much of sugar, in terms of the crystal sugar that we use in the kitchen, do you think it will tolerate? Just 1 teaspoon. Just 1 teaspoon. That is 5 grams. It is very easy to calculate. The average blood sugar is 100 milligrams per deciliter. You convert into liter, it becomes 5 grams. That is 1 teaspoon of sugar. One slice of bread contains 2.5 teaspoon of sugar. One idli may contain 2 spoons of sugar. Okay. A small cup of rice may contain 4 to 5 teaspoon of sugar. Now, you just think the amount of idlis or rice, sugar that you take during the course of a day, okay, it will be about 25 to 30 spoons easily, if not more. Milk contains sugar, you take milk, okay. So, but the body can tolerate only 1 spoon of sugar. So, what is going to happen to the excess? So, this is where nature has created a situation where the pancreas, the organ pancreas, has got a particular cell known as beta cell. When the sugar levels are going up, message is sent by the brain to the pancreatic beta cells to produce insulin. What is the job of this hormone insulin is that take the excess sugar from the blood and put it all over the body for two purposes. One for energy purposes, two for storage. Okay. So what are the storage? I'll talk about the storage. There are three storages. One is the liver, which is here. Another one is the muscle, and third one is the fat. So whereas the liver and the muscle can store only limited amount of the sugar in the form of glycogen, a substance known as glycogen. That's an assembly of glucose. It is stored there, but limited. For example, the liver is like this room. You cannot stuff things beyond a particular level. That's all it can hold. Beyond that, it's just going to refuse. But the unlimited source of unlimited recipient is the fat. It can take any amount of sugar in the form of fat. I'll tell you how sugar becomes fat later, but that's the storage. You can take any amount. So imagine you take only carbohydrate. Imagine a vegetarian, what protein is he going to have and what fat is he going to have? Nothing. Before that, let me tell you, when you take carbohydrate, there's a high insulin response. Because it's only sugar, okay. The insulin has got desperately take the excess sugar and shove it all over the place. When you take protein, there is a moderate insulin response because much of the protein is not going to be converted into sugar. When you take fat, there is virtually no response, insulin response. But the problem is 90% of the food we vegetarians or we South Indians take is carbohydrate. So the sugar skyrockets. Immediately the insulin response is there, it takes all the sugar and puts it all over the place, okay. But then something is happening now. You tie a watch on your hand. At the moment you tie, you are conscious. Subsequently, glass, okay. People who consume cigarettes, alcohol, medicines, after some time, no, you develop resistance, the body develops resistance. You are blissfully unaware. The fan, you take the fan, you take the traffic, initially you are able to hear, subsequently you don't. If I speak for a long time, you will stop hearing me. That is resistance. Similarly, when there is a lot of insulin being pumped into our system, our cells stop responding to it. Before that, let me tell you how the insulin is able to transport the blood from the bloodstream into the cell. Imagine this room to be a cell. It has got a door, it has got a lock, okay. It requires energy or it wants to store, whichever. The blood is flowing in the corridor and it contains sugar. So the sugar level goes up, insulin is released, it opens, it is a magic key which opens the lock and allows the sugar to selectively get into the cell. This is how the sugar gets into the cell, either for energy purposes or for storage. But then what happens when there is lot of sugar coming up and a lot of insulin coming up? At one point of time, the lock does not work. It is some dirt is accumulated in the lock, so that does not open. The insulin is unable to open. So what the body says, still the sugars are coming thanks to a carbohydrate dumping. So more insulin is being produced. So the more insulin produced, the more the cell becomes resistant, either for mainly for energy purposes and for storage. So meaning the liver stops accepting, the muscle stops accepting. The only source which keeps on accepting is our fat. So this is a stage called insulin resistance. So more carbohydrate is converted to more sugar, to more insulin. Cycle goes on and on and on, and you reach a stage, despite there being high insulin, it is unable to mobilize all the excess sugar into your system. That point is called diabetes. Your blood sugar rises. Meaning, you need to get yourself exposed for 10 to 15 years to high insulin to get diabetes today. All complications of type 2 diabetes is caused by high insulin and high sugar. Until I get diabetes, all my complications are caused by high insulin. After I get diabetes, all complications are produced by high insulin and high sugar. So, just because I got diabetes today, it's not that I'll be free of complications. My complications already started thanks to high insulin. Joseph Kraft, 1976, he did this experiment. He took two populations, one a diabetic population, two a non-diabetic population. So what he did, he did the glucose tolerance test. Glucose kudutittu, you check the sugar. Simultaneously, he checked the insulin also. So in the diabetic population, the sugars were high predictably, and the insulin levels were also high predictably. He took the non-diabetic population, predictably the sugar was absolutely normal, but most unpredictably, 75% of the non-diabetic population had high insulin. He said, all these guys with high insulin are going to have problems. They had problem even before diabetes. Some had problem even before diabetes came, because high insulin, known as insulin toxicity, itself is a risk factor. And all of them became diabetics. So that is the importance of insulin or high insulin. So just because my sugars are normal, please don't be complacent. Check your insulin levels. And who are the people who should have the insulin checked? Children. The type of food that they take pumps insulin into the body. The fruit juices, the cakes, the chocolates, all the items that the children take, because it is available. Parents can afford. They'll bend on their backs to buy the children all these things. Okay, and the children know how to manipulate the parents to get all this. So their levels will be very high. Okay, I'll tell you a quote later. One small boy, he had such a high insulin. First of all, you need to know what the normal levels of insulin. Then you'll understand the magnitude of the problem. Okay, 30% of the school going population, children, are obese. I'm not talking about the higher socioeconomic strata. I'm talking about people, children from the housing board, the lower socioeconomic strata. You go to any school, the obesity levels are high. Here I would like to say one thing. In our general population, you have two groups. One is a productive population. The other is a vulnerable population. The productive population is between the age of 25 and say 55. They are the breadwinners. They earn. Who are the vulnerable population? Young kids and the parents. Right? Now, the scenario is that the productive population is a population that's got to be protected. They are under threat. There are days when the parents said, the people said, my appa heart attack vandhudu, kidney failure, stroke vandhudu. Now, parents are telling, my son is a diabetic, he had a heart attack, sudden death. So that is good. That is the scenario. That is the productive population. They are the future. If they are vulnerable, and they are, you may be knowing, you go to any corporate hospital, see the statistics of heart attack or whatever, the age is coming down. Where they get into major health issues, the age is coming down. Okay, so that is going to happen to this productive population. Who is to take care of the children and the elder? That is one way of thinking. The other way of thinking, children 10 years, 15 years, they become diabetic, they become obese, they have high insulin level, high cholesterol, under functioning of thyroid, okay, under functioning ovary, polycystic ovary, menstrual disorders. So what is going to happen 10 years down the line? They'll be full blown issues. They'll have. So our population is going to be decimated unless we take corrective action. And certainly prescribing medicine is not the option. Right? So this is the general background that you need to have. Coming back to diabetes, so this is how diabetes occurs. Okay? Now I said diabetes and obesity. As this vicious circle of high carbohydrate, high sugar, high insulin is happening, there is another vicious circle that is happening. Normally when we take food, okay, the food, it goes for energy purposes and storage house. Some goes into the fat also. Fat is not an innocent thing. It is a dynamic. It produces a lot of chemicals, lot of hormones, lot of enzymes. Okay, one important hormone that produces is known as leptin. Normally, leptin is a hormone which goes to our brain and tells stop eating. Okay, once the message gets to the brain, we stop eating. That is what happens normally. When you have normal, within quotes, amount of fat, normal insulin, normal leptin, message goes, stop eating. Now imagine, you take lot of carbohydrate, convert a lot of sugar, high insulin, high fat deposition. The first vicious circle triggers what is known as insulin resistance. Now what happens, consequent to the high fat deposition, there is high leptin production. When there is more and more leptin production, what happens? When there is more and more insulin production, insulin resistance. When there is more and more leptin production, what happens? Leptin resistance. So what is leptin resistance? It is unable to get the message to the brain to stop eating. And high insulin itself will stop the leptin message going. So that is why diabetes and obesity go hand in glove. So diabetes and obesity is a hormonal problem.
What did you define leptin message? That it will not
take leptin message does not go to the brain. Okay. So I'll throw a question now. A person is obese or overweight because he or she eats more and exercises less. Is this statement right or wrong? People here know the answer, but just tell me. A person is obese, result is due to eating more and exercising less. Cause, cause, effect. Is it right or wrong? Now you tell me. Anybody? Right or wrong? How many people say it's right? Okay. How many people say otherwise? Okay.
Eating more of what?
Eating more anything. So the cause effect, the general perception is that you become obese because you eat more and exercise less, right? That's not right. As I told you, because a person is obese, he or she is eating more and exercising less because they are leptin and insulin resistant. The cause effect has to be changed. In other words, being obese is not a behavioral problem. It is a hormonal problem. It's a biochemical problem. You should not find fault with the individual. You have to be empathetic because he is beyond himself because of the biochemical injury that he has sustained. Okay. So this is what happens to all. That's why you see people with diabetes or obese people, they keep on eating. The reason is very, very simple. Whatever you eat, the insulin takes it and puts it into your fat. So you are always energy deficient, constantly energy deficient.